Elevate Visual is a proud sponsor of the Dirt Podcast. Let Elevate Visual help you with your next videography project, including licensed drone services, real estate video tours, business promotional videos and advertisements, and much more. Give Brandon a call today at 320-491-4418.
On a Mustang, romance. How about Brad? Brad's been in a good mood lately.
That's scary if Brad's in a good mood, because that means there's, I don't know. Brad's in a good mood. Kent's telling everybody they're pissy.
Brad Dino nothing. Is that his last name? Dino?
Bromance is too worried about playing freaking farming and shit on his PS18 or whatever.
We live, Brandon? Model they're out now. We're up and running.
So we don't hear about bromance unless he's going to cry about something or wants to change his pick.
Bromance. Cons.
Yeah. I'd like to change my pick for the late models at Ogilvy. Don't matter. They ain't going to race anyway.
Cons got 9,000 hours of work in already this week.
Yeah, he's on 14 hours overtime Wednesday morning. We run with a very diverse crowd.
The best part about it is it's actually – I'm still sleeping when the texts come through at 3:45 a.m., just like the rest of the world is sleeping at 3:45.
Well, most of us.
When someone sends a text. Well, at least you don't send them until like 6:37 anyway. You know what I mean?
Depends.
Majority of anybody that's got kids at school is up anyway. But I picked my phone up this morning. 11 text messages. I don't even know what it was about. Someone is posting something. Who posted a grill with some meat in it?
Good Jeff.
Where does he live?
Yeah, he's the Uper.
He's the irrelevant one?
He's the Uper.
We just own that just so Canada can't have it. That's the only reason why we own it.
He can't be the irrelevant one.
Right?
Because he's the one that keeps up with all this shit and does all this stuff. Yeah, his post was awesome.
Meat on a grill. Or how do you put it? No.
No.
Can we?
It was meat in a box makes you feel young again, and then he snaps in the morning. Snaps a picture of a brisket on his grill.
Yeah. That's the only box he's getting.
Yeah, well, whatever. Is what it is.
Boom, boom. Here we are, folks. Are we at six? Episode six? That,
I don't know.
Of is season it? Number three of the Dirt Podcast.
Brandon shaking his head, yes, as he's got some IMCA-sponsored water bottle in his chops.
I got my co-host Dan with me.
As he tries to give me an IMCA sticker this morning when
we're
setting up shop.
IMCA Brandon. Is that we got to think of a better nickname. It's not like Man Bun Dan or like I'm Coach. They just call me Coach or Bromance or Butthurt Bert. Or
no, you sent
that's
me
Brad?
That. You sent me that link, a Blomquist interview with Turbo the other day.
Yep,
that was Scott Blomquist doing his best Burt Lehman impersonation. It was. He tried to say a lot, but he didn't really say anything at all because he was afraid of getting off the center of the fence.
And Burt, just an FYI, we compared you to Scott Blomquist, so that's a compliment.
Yeah,
by the Burt. Interesting. You want to start with that deal? Should we just fire off right with that since you brought it up?
Well, we can talk about whatever the hell we want.
We can talk about tires. Let me finish my introduction. I got my co-host Dan, Brandon on production. I'm Jeff, back for another episode of the Dirt Podcast. Finally getting some local racing in. Doesn't look too good for this weekend. Red Cedar got their first event in on Friday. Cedar Lakes obviously ran a couple times now. But other than that, I think Devil's Lake was supposed to open this weekend. Have you heard anything?
No, we'll know when they start racing because then we'll start getting hate mail from people and we start telling the truth after the races are done.
Should we text Heather and say, what's going on up there in Devil's Lake?
Yeah. We don't want to call her.
We could just patch her in.
That'd be half the show.
Well, you want to get ratings, so yeah, we're going to shoot that out the foot.
Yeah, we don't.
But Ogilvy's supposed to open this weekend, and obviously
that ain't
going to
happen.
It's been raining for 2 days.
Brinson's supposed to open Friday. That ain't going to happen.
It's freezing cold today. The wind's still blowing. I don't think anything's going to dry. No. It's supposed to be cold this weekend.
Well, it'll dry up, but who the hell's going to open when it's 40 degrees and a hurricane? I mean, like I said before, if you want to lose money, just open your doors when the weather's like that.
Yeah, so stay tuned to Facebook and websites for local racing around here. Like I said, there's Princeton, Ogilvie, Devil's Lake. If you were supposed to get it started, it doesn't look good. Like Dan said, if you were smart, and you probably, us racers are dumb. We don't care what the temperature is or what we want to wreck or doing whatever or spend money. But the big thing is the fans. And if it's freezing cold outside, they're not, the fans aren't coming.
Nope. You know where else the fans aren't going real quick? Target Field, if shit don't change.
I knew you were going to go there after your, I was dead serious on this. I picked my phone up. I turned the Twins off. Mm-hmm. Is that last night, the 11-3 whipping?
Oh, yeah.
So I put on, okay, this is coming from me now. All right? I put the Lakers game on.
Boy, you're digging.
Yeah, I'm digging. And I had high limits on the other TV. And I was watching the Twins. Because I had the high limits race on. So I put the Twins on, and I'm like, what's going on over there? Every time I turn around, it was a two-run homer and a three-run homer. So I finally turned
off. Popcorn machine.
Put the Lakers game on. Still got my phone in my hand. And I was just going to text you, and I had Facebook open. What's the first the first feed on my Facebook feed? Dan Kalina said something about how great the Minnesota Twins are this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got in a pissing match with was it Murph or who was?
No, I didn't get a pissing match.
Larson? Was Lars?
I just told Larson it was a dumpster fire. Larson told me to reset my password because my phone got hacked. And then I told him it was a dumpster fire.
And then I saw Murph chirped, yeah, Lars, good old Lars. So, yeah. No, it's...
They're on pace to lose 100. Okay? Why Rocco still has a freaking job? Don't know. I mean, if you're going to try salvage this deal, number one, so your first 16 games, you go 6-10. That means your next 16 games, you got to go 10-6 just to even the slate. But the problem is the freaking Tribe is running away and hiding. They're already 5.5 games up. People don't realize how big a hole this is. I mean, 5.5 games, it's not even May 1st. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of parity in baseball. And if you suck, if you're not within 5 games by Memorial Day, you might as well toilet bowl your season. It ain't happening. And they ain't going to be within 10 the way they're going.
And that the freaking losing that Tigers game the other night the way they did?
Absolutely
uncalled for. You may be able to down, and that may turn you into downhill spiral in a big hurry.
We need about a 3-day rainout streak. Well, here's what has to happen.
Or a couple starting pitchers?
No, that would help, but they made their own bet with that when they did nothing in the offseason.
They did nothing.
Okay. So what we need to do...
But he's on the season-ending IR, and he's a 4-5 guy anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, 3 maybe, which is good. Threes are good. You need them guys. They contribute.
Well, if he's a 3, now you move over to 4 and Paddock to 5. It's a completely different
ballgame. Oh, Paddock is... I think Paddock's going to be in the pen or he's going to be gone. I don't see it. He was good out of the pen last year when he came back, and he's got... I've seen nothing out of him.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. This is... whatever freaking poll ad's calling the shots, this is what you do right here. You fire Falvey, you fire Levine, and you fire Rocco immediately. All 3 of them gone. Then you hope for a 3-day rainout stretch. You get on the horn 2 seconds after you fire Rocco, and you call Buck Showalter. And you get him into town for the 3-day rainout stretch, start wrapping bats around guys' heads. And getting their head in the game and see what happens. We don't even care about the president or the GM or any of that bullshit. You don't need that. And take every goddamn laptop and with a sledgehammer and no more analytics. Get a guy out there that can coach a freaking game because he's got feel for the game.
It's an escape goat for
and I will coaches, guarantee Dan. You right now, it don't get any worse than it is right now if you do that. It don't.
No, I mean no. You're right. It's not going to get any worse. Yeah, it's
Buck Showalter and these young entitled little pricks would be a perfect combination. Guarantee you'd have some leadership in the clubhouse when the season's over.
And okay, I'm a coach. Okay, I'm a hockey coach. I know you've coached a lot of baseball, youth baseball and stuff. Like when we went on our 13-game winning streak this year, guess how much stuff I changed?
Nothing.
My lines are the same. Maybe a defenseman here and there. That's a different ballgame. Mm-hmm. You fire up the Twins box score, the batting lineup is different every single day of the week. Every game it seems to be different.
Nobody knows what to expect.
Like, I get putting – I mean, someone's struggling. Hey, you're going to – move them down in the order. Hey, might get them to wake up a little bit. You know what I mean? I get, you got to send a message every once in a while, whether that works in baseball or not. I mean, if you're a leadoff guy and you're crap and all of a sudden you show up at the ballpark and you're eighth, I mean, is that going to probably send a little bit of a message?
Hey, what's the most anxious day in a school year every year?
First day?
The first day, because you don't know what to expect, right? When you have a, when you get a new job, what's your most anxious day?
Right.
First day. Nobody knows what to expect. You're not letting these guys do their job because you're jerking them around and jockeying them around like they're a bunch of freaking chickens on a chain. You can't do it. You gotta get with it and stick with it. And that's what spring training's for. Spring training is to figure this shit out. Well, evidently they didn't figure nothing out. Because they got their ass beat in spring training, and now they're getting their ass beat in the regular season.
Where did he have – did he have Jeffers in the two-hole last night?
He's had Jeffers all over the place. He had him hitting eighth. He had him hitting second. He had him hitting sixth. He'll have probably leading off tonight. I don't know.
I mean, if Jeffers was killing the ball where he's at, wouldn't you probably have him probably – would he not be better in cleanup than
Well, but it's analytics.
But who else are you going to put at cleanup other than –
there's only one
Buxton
guy.
Buxton was hitting cleanup last night.
Exactly. And that's who should be hitting there.
Well, I mean,
that's who should be there.
For the most part, right.
He should be there.
Just where he's at in his stage of his career, the way he hits the ball. I mean, he's not there anymore.
Okay. He's a leadoff guy. But he's got too much power to put him there. Okay. He hits too many extra base hits to be a leadoff hitter. You don't want that guy. You want your doubles, triples, home runs guy hitting down in the order, and hopefully the rest of these jack wagons in front of them did their job and got on base. But here's what you can't do. You absolutely cannot do if you have Byron Buxton hitting four hole. You cannot have any slow guys in front of him because his speed is his number one weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, can he hit bombs? Yep. Is his bat slow right now? Yeah. His bat ain't hitting fastballs like he usually does.
No. No.
But he had a double or a triple last night. He's coming around. He's warming up. He's never been a fast starter. But you can't have a slow guy with a three-bottom plow in front of him on the bases because all you take out is the other weapon. Now, here's the other part of this. If Royce Lewis is healthy, Royce Lewis is hitting three or four and Buxton's leading off because now you got Big Thunder behind him. And if he's the leadoff man, if Buxton's the leadoff man and his on-base percentage is good, there's nothing clogging up the bases.
No.
7, 8, 9, it don't matter. You don't want a slow guy at 8 or 9 either because you got if your leadoff guy's Buxton, you got to keep fluidity on the base paths. That's the whole thing. But when you don't play the fundamental game of baseball, like the Twins don't, they don't bunt, they don't hit and run, they don't steal bases when situations say they said they do nothing right. Okay? It's a dumpster fire.
Well, let's get off that topic. Has Martin up right now?
Yeah, playing well.
Is Austin Lee up at all?
You mean Brooks Lee? He's on the DL down in the minors.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
So he hasn't been brought up either?
I haven't called him up yet. No.
So Martin Lee, who else is down there that's supposed to be?
Well, we got a couple of bullpen pieces coming back. But the problem is the bullpen pieces don't matter if you can't get to the sixth, seventh inning with lead.
They're coming in and the game's already over.
That was last night. Yeah, we got some good news on the injury front. Johan Duran's throwing at 95%. What the hell is the difference if Johan Duran's throwing at 95% or 5% if they're down 11-3 going to the ninth? He ain't coming in the game.
Nope.
For all that, you might as well send him to AAA and let him pitch. Because what's a closer when you're never winning? To have a good closer, you need to pitch regularly, and that means you need to be leading in the eighth inning regularly.
So anybody who wants consistent updates with the Minnesota Twins, you can like and share Dan Kalina on Facebook. Follow him, and you're going to get some great updates about the Twins, like I did last night. Boom, look at this. Great topic conversation. And it's good seeing all the comments. But, no, we're diehard Twins fans. We always has been. We want to see them do well. So, quick prediction. Timberwolves, what's your prediction? They got a horrible matchup here. They did not need the Suns.
Number
if
you would have
been the two, you would have got the Lakers. And then if you're going to be the three, you're going to get – or if you're at one, you're going to get – who is it going to be, the Pelicans or the Kings?
Here's the deal. It doesn't matter. The Timberwolves, everyone knows this. And now they're healthy. They got Towns back. Okay, he's going to be back. They are the best team in the NBA. Everyone knows this. It's when that team is healthy, they are the best team in the NBA. Okay. Here's the problem. When you see them folding up shop on these games they need to win for seeding at the end of the year, and they're playing teams that need to win these games to get in.
It's horrible.
Okay? It isn't about records at that point. It's about who wants it more, and they've proven they don't want it very bad.
Well, here's the flip side. If they do get there, they're not going into Denver and knocking off Denver or OKC. They're not. If they're a three seed and they're playing the two or the one in the conference finals, they're not winning that being the road team.
Oh, they can because they did it all year.
You're not going into Denver and knocking off Denver.
They won there all year. It's not a problem. Here's the problem. They're not getting out of the first round.
I just
said it. They ain't doing it.
I don't disagree with you on that.
It's not going to happen because they
especially Suns had their number all year, right?
Well, it don't matter. Numbers don't matter either. What matters is
that's right. Get rid of the computers,
yeah.
The laptops, iPads, throw them all in the garbage.
Here's what matters. Anthony Edwards has the highest level of intensity of anybody in the league.
Right, yeah.
He's got nobody on that roster that's come close to matching it. And as soon as Carl, you mark my words on this shit, because it's going to happen. It happened all year. As soon as Carl Anthony Towns feels like he's got jobbed on a call and didn't get a foul called, he's going to sit there piss, moan, and whine like a crybaby like he always does.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring the whole freaking team down with him, and they're going to get blown out by 20. And that's going to set the freaking stage for the whole series. Carl Anthony Towns is a mental midget. Great basketball player, mental midget, and it's going to hurt the team. There's my prediction.
I'm not going to disagree with you. So we'll see. I think they play Saturday, Friday?
I don't know. I quit paying attention because I just – it's
– No, you're a Minnesota sports fan.
They got
– And you see someone doing well, and you're like, oh, just – It's going to be a big disappointment.
They have a very good roster, but they're weak in a couple critical areas. And it's not inability. It's not inability to play the game. Yeah. It's an ability to handle adversity. And that's like I say, he's a mental midget.
Yeah.
No. And then he brings other guys down with him.
I hear you. We don't have to talk NHL because the Wild are out of it. They're done. Talk about another dumpster fire.
One more year salary cap.
Yeah. And then what? Then what?
Then they're going to go spend a shit ton of money and get themselves in salary cap hell again. Here's the good news. They got some good young players that aren't costing them a ton of money. They got something to build around. Now, if Guerin just doesn't go shove his head up his ass and do something stupid like the last guy did, like Fletcher did, they should be able to.
Yeah,
should be able to roll. They're loaded between the pipes. They got solid freaking defensemen and young.
They're missing. They need 3D.
What's that?
They need three defensemen.
They need three?
They need three. Okay, because
they just get one.
It's different. But you got to remember if you throw Spurgeon in there. So if you got Spurgeon, Brodin, and Faber, that's three really good D right
there. Oh, yeah,
there.
But can Brodin and Spurgeon stay healthy?
That's the issue. Middleton's not playing. Middleton's a 5'6 guy. He's a great 5'6 guy.
Yep.
Okay, so you need to patch. You need to patch in a 4 and a 5. I mean, Merrill. I don't know. This Chisholm kid's young. I mean, he played okay. But you can say what you want to say.
Who was the guy from St. Cloud State that just signed? And went there at the end of the year. He was a junior.
Don't know.
He just came on like favorite at the end of last year. Except I don't think they even sent. I think they sent him to Iowa.
I don't know. Didn't see that one. So, but you're right. If Gustafson and Wallstat, you got two young, really good, big goalies,
studs.
Okay. You need to. Their other issue is they need to find another stud to play with Kirill because they don't have one. Kirill has no – we have one first-line player, and that's it. We don't have any other first-line players after that. We don't. Say what you want about Ek, Zuccarello, Boldy's a borderline. He's more of a second-line left winger. We don't have a first-line guy.
Well, the money they play Boldy, they bet he better be a first-liner.
Yeah, I mean, but he's not – you watch – you need to be a special player to play with Kirill. You got to be able to think like him. You can't have someone. I'm not calling Boldy big and
dumb. So they need to sign a Russian.
Well, somebody smart that can think and play like Kirill.
But they need to sign a Russian.
Zuccarello can think like that, but Zuccarello is 100 years old and he's
right
5'7". Okay, mm-hmm. They got no beef. When Foligno was out, they had no beef.
Yeah,
got rid of Reeves. And say what you want about Dumba. Dumba was a force on that backside. But if you came across the middle on Dumba, guess what? Guess where you were?
Yeah.
You're in the stands the next 10 games because you're on the IR. Okay. Mm-hmm. So say what you want about him. So I think they need to go bigger and stronger. And then find one more guy to play with Kirill. Now all of a sudden you got your McDavid line. You know what I mean? These top teams that have these stud lines. So
well, where are you going to find that guy?
Free agency after.
What do you need, a left winger, right winger?
After you get some money, you probably need a center is what you need. Then you can move Ek down to two. You know, even if you put Boldy up there, because Kirill can play either side. Then you move now. Just think how much deeper you got now too.
Well, there's the other thing. Why does Colorado kill us all the time? Because they're big and they're deep.
Yep. And their first line we can't play with. Nobody that can play with them.
Nobody can because they're speed. Speed game. Nobody in the league matches up with them.
But, you know, they're close. I mean, they were in the playoffs last year. They missed it out this year by 8 points. So, and it's not like they're Chicago Blackhawks right now. They're cellar dwellers, you know?
Well, so didn't make the playoffs. We're going to draft like what, 6, 7, 8 this year?
Ah, the drafts.
There's only three guys you want. Right?
There's
three guys and then it falls off like drastic.
Well, the NHL draft is such a shot in the dark. You're going off potential and you know what I mean? The chances of you, and then they traded for Brock Faber. They didn't even draft him. You know, chances of him doing something like he did you have to look at potential and you got to say, yeah, hopefully he can pan out. Because you remember their draft year is, basically 18, young 19-year-olds, and then the older 17-year-olds is your draft window. You don't know what a 17, 18, 19-year-old
is going to be like. Don't they have a secondary deal like baseball does at the end, like after your junior year of college too? Didn't you have rights for 3 years and then?
Once you're drafted.
So if you don't sign in 3 years, then you go back in the pool?
Correct. No, you don't even go back in the pool. Hockey has a draft only year. So this year is going to be probably young 04s, 05s, and then the young 06s, somewhere in there. That's your only draft year birth years. So once you're past that, you don't get drafted, you're done, you're in the free agent pool. And you can't get drafted if you're younger than like 07s or
08s. Right.
Those guys aren't getting drafted. There's certain years in there. So it's basically 18, 18 plus, and then I think – it depends on when your birthday falls. So it's all a different deal. But you know, hockey, you got a kid who's 17, 18, he gets drafted. Go play 3 years of junior hockey, 2 years of junior hockey. Mm-hmm. Go to major juniors or college, NCAA. You're 23, 24. You're a completely different person.
Not even close.
It's not a completely different person. So you need to have good scouting. You're really drafting on potential. Obviously, you are. NFL's a little bit different. You know what I mean? You're coming
out. So basically, if you're drafting out of high school, if they ain't 6 foot something, 2 something when they're a senior in high school, you don't even want to draft them because the only thing you can draft is size.
Basically,
if you're a little guy, you ain't gonna.
If you're a little guy, you better be a Connor Bedard or a McDavid.
Yeah, but talent. Even then, I mean. You got to draft size.
Yeah.
It's all you can do.
It's potential. It's 100% potential. You know, that's why it's
They got to go find a free agent out of Mother Russia to play with.
Well, baseball's close. Carrell. I mean, look at how old's Royce Lewis right now?
24.
He got drafted when he was what? 17, 18?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But there's two draft windows in baseball.
There is.
It's you got out of high school, and then you got the college draft.
It's similar to that.
It's like 18 and 21.
Majority of the guys getting drafted are pretty rare if you're going right to the MLB your first year, unless you're a Joe Mauer.
That's why all the guys, they don't burn first-round draft picks on high school guys unless they know they're going to sign.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. But with the Tommy John stuff with all the pitchers and shit and all, there's more and more guys that are signing because they want the guaranteed money right away. Because you know they're going to grenade their elbow anyhow. So, enough of that bullshit. This is a racing podcast. I suppose we should talk about racing, huh?
Racing. What are we going to start? What
Let's talk about with? How Billy shoved his head up his ass again. Explain this to us all, Jeff, since you're the wheel turner.
Okay, first off, I saw this on, what's his face up Grand Forks? Corcoran, Tom Corcoran, correct? Yep. He made a Facebook post about what in the world are this rule change now? I knew nothing about it. So I guess there's an email out, okay? Rule clarification. This came directly from Billiam. Billiam would, that'd be a different story. All cars with molded in diffusers on the back of the roof are allowed for 2024. In 2025, there will be no diffusers allowed. Okay, the horizontal bar, the intrusion halo bar, you know about that. It's mandatory. Must be installed by June 1st.
Why? Okay. If the halo bar, if the safety thing is so big with the halo bar, why are they giving guys till June 1st? It should be exactly. Mandatory. It's done so, before you hit the track.
Now, other issue is we've ran into some stuff. The halo bar can be a hindrance as well as far as getting in and out of your car. Okay.
Why is the halo bar a hindrance? Isn't that go across the top of the cage?
No, it's coming down. Isn't this the one that's by your?
Is it the one that's behind the primary cage?
Yeah, it's by your. It's one Rocket. Remember Rocket and Longhorn added that one.
Yep.
Because that guy that died at Eldora.
Yep.
They add it's that bar that comes down and protects the driver's head.
That bar.
Correct. Here's my thing. I have no problems with that. Get rid of window nets.
100%.
Okay. If you're gonna run and like you said, Donnie Shaw got trapped in his car at Ogilvy last year because he couldn't get his window net down.
Yep.
You know, and then you got someone, he didn't have a window net. He would, well, get the arm restraints in there. Get those window nets out of there. They don't do nothing. They're way more of a hindrance than they are anything. So this roof thing.
So you say no arm restraints too?
No, run arm restraints.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah, you have to. You got to put the arm restraints on.
Arm restraints or Velcro? Basically, you Velcro them.
What's that?
Arm restraints, right?
You can. The problem is they rip off your suit and they rip your suit, so you're better off just buying them. I had the separate ones.
Oh, by the Z-cups?
That actually come on, and then they go right into your belts. Those are a little bit more safe. But you can get a custom actual safe one right in your suit.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is then you're walking around with them all the time right. On your suit or whatever. But I just had the slip-on ones I don't know how many years ago that was when we could run those. And you can't lift your arms. They're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so then.
And then if you're not hooked up.
How do you. Okay. But yeah, okay. So yeah, as soon as your belts come free, your arm restraints.
Your arms are free.
All right. That makes way more sense than a window net.
Correct.
Way more.
Correct.
So because now anybody can pull your freaking belt. If you're knocked out cold and there's a fire in the front end of your car, somebody can come in there, rip your belt loose, and drag your ass out of that car.
Right.
There's nothing between the safety personnel and the driver.
Correct.
That's the biggest. Why this is even a conversation is beyond me. So this should have been done before the halo bar ever came out.
Well, and this year, I told you, late models don't have to run window nets. Okay.
Because Donnie bitched.
And he got his way.
Yep. But everybody else does.
I made the motion for the mods and the supers. Mm-hmm. Got shut down. Because.
Oh, so we care about the safety of late model drivers, but we don't care about the safety of
Dave Adams, who doesn't do any teching out there, we found in Rice Lake.
Yep.
Dave Adams said that Well, Kurt Myers would have died if he would at I-94. You remember his rollover last year? He would have died if he didn't have a window net.
Bullshit.
He'd have been severely hurt. No, if he would have built the Superstock the way they're supposed to be built, that would have never happened.
Right.
I mean, it was he rolled, but you should never, ever have to carry a fuel cell off a racetrack.
Correct. And the other thing is this, too. If your chassis is built correctly and you give a shit about yourself enough to put a decent seat in your car, your head's never touching the dirt.
No.
Never.
No.
Not happening.
Nope.
Because you're going to wear a head and neck restraint.
Yep.
You're gonna have a seat with, you don't even need a full containment seat, with some sort of side element on it, and it's gonna be inset at least 2 to 3 inches away from the outside of your uprights and your roll cage.
Yep,
that should never happen.
Nope.
And for your a window net is irrelevant in that situation, unless you're building a hunk of shit. And if you're building a hunk of shit, shame on you.
So these roof these molded in diffusers on the back of the roof. Have you seen the Longhorn cars? I would assume this is what they're talking about. They got some kind of, it's just deflect air,
So it takes air off your spoiler.
I mean, have you seen the Longhorn cars? They got the little, I don't know. I don't even know what they are. So whatever. Okay. But the point is.
So Jeff doesn't really know what they are, but Billy goes and makes a rule about it. Okay. So let's talk about this. A roof is a roof is a roof. You've had aluminum roofs in your car for freaking ever, right?
We're wasting our time is what we're doing.
100%. There's a freaking blade on the back of the car. There's a roof rake angle rule. Billy, quit being a dumbass and worry about stuff that matters.
100%.
My God.
So now supposedly.
So what are they really up to keep everybody's mind off what they're up to?
Supposedly, this was talked about with the committee. Was never ever said, here's what we're doing, this is what we're doing. Billy came out and said, sent an email out and said, this is done, this is what we're doing.
So it was one of the things Billy didn't like, and he turned it into a rule.
Correct. And you heard the Rice Lake story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about that on here yet?
No, we didn't talk about it. We're going to right now because you brought it up.
So supposedly the new owners of Rice Lake, is it Colby Keel involved in that?
Yes.
And he's the street stock guy?
Correct. Well, and I think he's got a super, too.
Well, he ran here a couple times last year, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I've crossed paths with him. I've met him a couple times. I can't walk up to him and shoot the breeze with him. I don't know him that well. But they bought, leased, I don't know whatever they're doing for Race Lake. And they had asked, where do they get all their teching tools? Where do we get our carburetor kits? Where do we get our whistles? Where do we get all this? And they said, well, you should have got that all from Dave Adams. Well, at the end of the day, he got nothing. He got no tech tools. He got no nothing. They didn't have a wrench out there to tech out at Rice Lake. So basically, they just weren't even teching. Mm-hmm. No whistles, no nothing.
And Dave Adams was the founder of Adams Automotive Race Engines. And they weren't teching engines at Rice Lake Speedway, which Dave Adams also owned.
What? And then called Billy last year and said, we don't need you at the Little Dream. You just stay away.
Correct.
We don't need you on here.
And if I recall correctly, in the front couple pages of the Wasota promoters contract, there is documentation about these previously mentioned teching tools. That the track must buy them and have them at their and have them and available for the tech inspector. And if you don't, you are to be fined. I only signed that contract 4 times. I remember what was in there.
Well, I told you.
So how is there not teching? How is there not tech tools and there's not fines levied against track?
So last couple years, the track champion at Red Cedar Street Stock, I don't know who it is or who was out there. Or maybe it was Rice Lake, one of those two. Had basically a full aluminum body on his street stack.
And who gives a shit? Because the weight limit's
a
weight limit.
I get that, but a rule's rule.
Right. That's one of Billy's rules.
The steel bodies, it's
dumb.
It's dumb. We need to get rid of them.
What do they got to weigh? 3,250?
3,200.
3,200. So whether you got a steel body or aluminum body, 3,200 is 3,200.
Correct.
Correct.
Correct. So Sounds like Mr. Pagonis is going to be fueling up.
Well,
and making sure everybody's on the same page, teching wise in Wisconsin.
We've
known that for years out in Wisconsin.
We'll see what they say and what actually happens. We'll see if it's the same thing. Now, if I see a DQ sheet, the length of what comes off the old printer when it's time to send checks out at Viking Speedway every Saturday night, then he's doing his job.
Right, right.
Because everybody's known, this has been well known since Randy Buss has been out of the equation, that Wisconsin is the wild, wild west when it comes to tech and Wasoda. There's a reason why them Wisconsin guys go everywhere, and they're always fast.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get teched.
No.
And you know what? The rest of the fact is, teching's not tight in the rest of Wasoda either. We've all been through there 17 times.
Well, that was...
It's a quick glance. They pick one thing.
You were
thing
standing next
check.
To me a couple years ago. Remember at the... That street stock came here, and he went into tech. He's like, this is the first time anybody's looked at my car all year.
Yeah.
It was like August.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
The idea of teching is walking around the cars and make sure there's Wasoda-stamped Hoosiers on it, basically, and then they'll pick one thing that nobody's dumb enough to even try to cheat at, and say, oh, yeah, here you go. Thanks for coming. Yeah. Meanwhile, could be a 440 under the hood.
Yeah.
Well, when's the last time somebody got pumped?
When? Where?
When? Nobody gets pumped.
At Viking Speedway, they do. One car usually per day. They'll get pumped. I didn't get pumped last year. I did the year before. I know Sauer and both Miller got pumped this year. I know the B-Mods did. I know the Streets did. Different ball game with the mods. But they, you know, we got Whistlers and shit here. We pump guys. I don't know if they're doing it anywhere else. I highly doubt it.
No.
You know, it's pretty easy to find a concept motor, Midwest mod or a street stock if you get the old Whistler out, right? Start checking compression and pumping stuff and seeing where it's at.
Well, compressions, yeah. I don't know. I can't. After all these years, you'd think shit would change. But it's the same bullshit year after year after year. Let's make a rule. Let's make a send out a publication about shit that don't matter. But let's just not even look at all the shit that does.
Right. Basically. So did you watch Red Cedar at all last week?
No.
So he had a couple interesting finish. Did you see us talking about the street stock finish? Because
I watched some of Cedar late.
We had a fan question on the One to Go show from Justine. we added an E on the end of it, if you know what we're talking about. Fan question. So Justine, we kind of... Flagman Justin have sent in a fan question, but we call him Justine. he soon as it happened at Red Cedar, he texts us, "What's going on at Red Cedar? What? I can't watch anymore. I shut it off." So, who's leading? Who's nine? Who's number nine? No, was it Keel? No,
yeah.
Coomer. Coomer's leading.
Yeah,
Andrew Hansen's in second. Okay, they take the white flag. They're side by side, one and two. Coomer pulls him down the back straightaway, and Hansen's maybe to his left rear tire, maybe his bumper, going into three, okay? And right away, Aho and Nealon, they text me. He's like, he chopped him. I'm like, so I wasn't watching it. I had Cedar on and then whatever race on the other TV. So I'm waiting for Dirt Race Central. I'm rewinding and pull it up there. So anyway, he angled him down. He didn't power chop, but he's the leader of the race. You want to use the whole track?
Yep, use it.
Use it. Okay, he angled him down, and Hansen roasted it in there. I mean roasted it in there. And if you slow it down, Hansen knew it. He actually started, I thought he started spinning before he even got into Coomer, and he hit him, spun them both out. Okay.
Gave them both their spot back.
Nope. Yellow checkered. Okay, and we can debate about that too, because everybody took the white. Everybody took the white. So you got to score the white flag lap. Okay? So they went yellow checkered, gave Coomer the lead, gave Coomer the win. Ekdahl pulled into victory lane. He got third. He pulls into victory lane. He thought he won, which, you know, the rules. That's not, but, you know, props to him for at least making him make him think. You know what I mean? I've done it before. I pulled into victory lane. Whether if I cross the finish line first, I'm pulling into victory lane, right? And I've been removed from victory lane before, too. So Coomer gets the win. Andrew Hansen gets last. Ekdahl gets second. They go yellow checkered. I thought was 100% the right call. The debate is you can't go back two laps, okay, because you scored the white flag lap.
Correct.
You cannot erase the white flag lap.
Right.
Do you think they should have gone green checkered?
Yep.
I don't disagree with you because the fans want to see it finish under green, correct?
Correct.
So you can go green checkered in that scenario.
What's Posada's rulebook say about that?
I know. What do you think it says?
Probably nothing.
Leave it up to the track. That's the problem.
Yep.
You go to all these tracks, everybody's different.
Right.
No. You go to a Posada track, here's the procedures.
Right.
Here's and I get the starts is by the cone or whatever. But white flag lap. Either every car has to take the white, half the field, two cars. Everybody's got electronic scoring these days. It's a lot easier to decide who does it.
All you
got
to do is just say if half the field takes the white flag, the green-white checkered's off the table. If the yellow comes out, it's green checkered.
Go green checkered. You can do green checkered. They didn't. They ended the race, which if that's their procedure and that's their protocol, they 100% they made the right call. So then the supers. SpaceX leading, Radetzky's in second. And they go into one, and Radetzky went in right on SpaceX bumper, punted him going into one.
Oh.
Okay. Threw the yellow right away. Not all the cars took the white. Threw Radetzky the back, gave SpaceX a spot back. They went green-white checkered, which I thought was 100% the correct call, too. So the big thing is you just got to get your procedures figured out there. And that's the issue. It's seems to me every track's different.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You would think that some sort of uniformity would benefit everybody.
I mean, World Outlaws, Lucas, high limits. It's the same every track you go to, right. Correct?
Correct.
Procedures are all the same. You're not going to Atomic and it's this. You're not going to Eldora and it's this. Though Eldora is different. If it's within the sanction. You go to all these tracks, it's the same deal. So Buzzy won the mods. Sam Mars won again in the lates. Had a good run with, I think it was Panitsky. Is Panitsky running up
Panitsky
there?
Panitsky won at Cedar on Saturday.
Yeah, he did. And then, so it's good to see Red Cedar. Thought the track had some grip into it. It was pretty racy. Crowd looked good. So good for them getting off to a hot start. And then Cedar, did you watch any of Cedar?
Yeah, I did. I watched, I don't know, I was on and off. I watched a fair amount of it.
Kyle Kopp won the Supers, Sabraski won the Mods, and you said Panitsky won the late models, right?
Yeah.
I think, did Mars get second there?
Yeah,
third?
Mars got second, TPO got third.
Gotcha, and I didn't see...
TPO actually went out and raced against somebody. Shocking, huh?
Did Joey Jensen win the B-Mods?
I think so.
And then they had just the sprints. I don't think they had.
I don't remember.
Didn't have streets.
I didn't watch all of it real close. I just.
So that was basically the local racing got started. They're supposedly running again. Question for you. Red Cedar's running Friday.
Okay. Yep.
Cedar Lake has their legendary opener with all 10 of their classes running Friday and Saturday.
Correct.
Obviously, Red Cedar and Cedar Lake did not work together.
Correct.
With this deal. Correct? Now, I get the Superstocks are the only sanctioned Wasota class at Cedar Lake, right?
Right.
So you get some open cars or whatever the late model deal. I don't know if – is there a late model Cedar Lakes? They can run their open cars, but restricted?
Right.
Is that basically what it is?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if either of them are going to race with the weather. It just sucks to see Nobody's Red Cedar race. Have to run and compete up against Cedar Lake on a Friday night.
Well, here's the deal. Cedar Lake's not sanctioned, so they can do whatever the hell they want.
Yep.
Okay. This is a bigger problem. This isn't a Cedar Lake Red Cedar deal. If Wasota do a better job and actually offer something to racetracks other than we're going to take your money to sanction, Cedar Lake would have all kinds of incentive to be sanctioned.
Exactly.
Yep. Every other track around them, north, east, west, is Wasota sanctioned now. Straight south is USRA. Well, if it was a no-brainer to be sanctioned with soda, Cedar Lake would be sanctioned with soda. Those guys are not stupid business people.
Right.
They're not. So
fan question. I got a fan question for you. This is coming from Brandon. It's 10 classes at Cedar Lake Speedway this weekend. Are you going to go sit in the grandstands and watch?
Not a snowball's chance in hell.
10 classes, Dan.
That's why I've never went to the Legendary 100. You know I'm not giving. You know I'm not going to Fergus to give Donnie my money, but I ain't even going down. I ain't going to Cedar Lake to watch 10 classes of cars. I'm staying home.
10 classes. Yeah. In April.
No, it's asinine.
If you're gonna do, and I don't know what their format is. Are they doing their?
I would assume it's the same as Legendary 100, where because they do the same thing. They just run.
So why would you not do
qualifying?
Why
would
you
and
not
features?
Run 5 classes on Friday and 5 on Saturday and figure out a different format? Wouldn't that be? Wouldn't you way better off doing that?
Why would you ever have 10 classes on one weekend to begin with?
Well,
stupid.
But if, I mean, your sprint cars, they got the sprint cars down there, okay? And we know the fans are different for the most part. But I know, I think you'd be better off doing that than go sit there through 10 classes.
Well, I have a better idea yet. Don't even race when it's cold and shitty outside. Yeah. Because half the reason people go to the racetrack is to sit there and drink beer with
their
buddies.
It could happen. It could happen. And nobody's real anxious right now.
No.
Especially when it's cold.
No.
And with streaming platforms.
I will promise you right now, you will not see me anywhere near a racetrack until it's 70 degrees.
I hear you.
It's not happening. I'm not doing it. I don't work at one anymore. I don't have a job to do. So why am I going to sit out there and freeze my ass off when I can sit at home or do something else? A lot of opportunities to go to races during the summer.
So, and I don't think there is anything else going on this weekend. That was supposed to, Princeton, was that the only three?
Yeah. Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Princeton, Cedar, Red Cedar, and then...
They got more rain down there than we got
Rice
here.
Lake already canceled, correct?
Don't know.
They did. I'm pretty sure they did. And then, like I said, did I say... Was it Devil's Lake? Did I say Devil's Lake was opening?
Well, they should know better to even have anything in April on their schedule up there. They're like, damn,
there's Canada. Still ice up there, isn't there?
No.
Ice. You're supposed gone. To say yes just to make no, it sound like there's some ice up there.
You're becoming overdramatic, Chris.
Yeah, Devil's Lake. Hot laps at 5, racing starts at 6. Pier stock, streets, Wasota, street stocks, B mods, late models.
NLRA?
No, just late models.
Why would you run late models up there if you're not running
an NLRA? May 11th.
Why would you run late models up there if you're not running NLRA? There's not that damn many cars that are even going to come.
So they got NLRA night. Does NLRA got a schedule? NLRA is running against the Challenge Series that weekend?
Hope so.
Oh, well.
The NLRA guys don't want to race the Challenge Series.
They don't travel anyway, no.
And the Challenge Series guys don't really want to race NLRA.
No.
They're never going to agree on how things go.
No.
The NLRA guys literally have a voting body that makes their format changes and everything else.
They even stop traveling. They don't even come down to Viking. They used to come to Viking every day.
No.
They're basically Devil's Lake, Grand Forks, Green Bush.
They're not coming any further south than east of 9.
Now, Green Bush hasn't opened their doors, correct? They folded?
That's what I heard.
I think they got a show in Fargo now, don't they, NLRA?
Yeah. They run with the World Outlaws.
Grand Forks, Devil's Lake.
They run with the World Outlaws sprint cars,
which is great. That's their little car club. Let them do what they want to do.
They get good car counts, too.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Saves you money. You don't have to travel all over the place. You're staying nice and close. Purse is the same.
Like what we talked about on last week's show about regionalizing racing to keep the cost down. Prime example right there. Elevated purse. You're only going to drive about 60 miles each direction. Win.
Yep. So did you watch World Outlaw Late Models last week? weekend at Farmer City?
Yeah, Saturday I did.
You didn't watch it? You didn't watch the best finish this year so far?
No. Friday, what was I doing? Friday, I was gone. I wasn't.
You were at the VF&W ripping tabs, doing a meat raffle or something.
That wasn't what happened. What the hell was it? Shit, I don't even know. I don't even remember. I did something. Because Saturday I went to Walker. I don't remember what I did.
Yeah. It is
what. It's here nor there, I guess.
Whatever. But. So you obviously saw the finish between Hoffman and Pierce.
Yeah, I did. That was all right.
Yeah, that was a pretty... It was a good finish. Hoffman admitted he screwed up getting in. He got into three harder, and he said he got
tight. Because he knew what was coming.
Exactly. And Pierce roasted that thing in on the bottom. And actually, they're all, you know, the keyboard warriors are out there. They both did a really good job doing, because if Pierce would have stayed straight and drove straight, he would have won. But he tried staying off of Hoffman because it was probably a smart decision. Because
he knew Hoffman was coming back on the track.
Exactly. And they both would have ended up out in the
They could have been yard sailed, piled up in turn one wall.
Big time. So it was a cool finish. Hoffman obviously got the win. Pierce got second. No fireworks, no drama. Because there's been some keyboard
battles. Those two guys aren't going to have drama on the racetrack because they're the two best at their craft. I mean, Hoffman was the best modified racer, you could say.
Well, where was your girl Angie? She wasn't going after Hoffman over that? She just sticks to the keyboard, right?
Yeah.
She's a Facebook warrior?
They're not. Those two guys that have won as many races as those two guys have won together, they're not going to do – they get it.
Yeah,
they,
but we want
they've
them
been
to.
There.
Yeah. No, it was a good finish. Like I said, Pierce did a really good job. He took his lane away enough, but like I said, when he figured that Hoffman was on the banking when he won the race off the track.
Right.
So that was a cool finish, and then Bobby put the beat down on him on Saturday. It wasn't even close. Hoffman got second, put the flat-out beat down on him. But – Madden, pretty much non-existent all weekend. Bishop, pretty much non-existent all weekend. McCready, pretty much non-existent all weekend. Who are we missing in there? Top runners, Outlaws. Dennis Erb's nowhere to be found. Bronson is nowhere to be found. Dillard wasn't any good. It was basically
Well, Hoffman if you look Pierce. At the results from Saturday night, nobody was any good except Bobby
well,
Pierce.
Well, how bad were the – how about the Illini guys? Bab, awful.
Nine.
Fager, awful.
9 seconds he won by.
Shirley, awful. Bab, Fager, and Shirley are pretty quick at that place. Are they not? Everybody was like, Bab's going to win. Bab's going to win. He wasn't
Frickin'
even
in Illinois. Yeah, of course they are. That's where they race all the time.
So that was a couple of interesting tidbits from Farmer City. Pierce obviously jumped up to, up to 7th or 8th or 9th in points now?
I don't know. I ain't paying attention.
I'm
just watching races.
He's going to win it. I'm telling you right now, he's going to win.
Well,
points.
Of course he's going to win it. Who's he got to beat? Got to beat one guy. Got to beat Shepard.
Well, no. Is Shepard leading right now or is Madden leading it?
No, he's got to beat Shepard.
Well, he's got to beat Hoffman right now. Hoffman's the next fastest guy.
When it's all said and done, he's going to have to beat Shepard. And he'll beat Shepard.
Shepard's not even in the same zip code right now.
Just hang on. Just
hang on
be,
what?
Just be a little patient. It's April.
It's Brandon Shepard.
Yeah. Well.
In a house car.
Wait.
And supposedly, according to you, the best house car in the whole world.
Wait till it gets hot, dry, and shitty, and then you'll see. Just watch.
No. Hot, dry, and shitty?
It's a two-horse race.
He's gonna beat Overton, McDowell.
June, July, and August is going to settle the deal.
He's going to beat Madden's good and the slick. Man. McDowell. McCready's gonna be on a different circuit, but those guys are way better in the slick than Shepard.
Just watch those two guys.
I did pick them to win on Saturday, or Thursday, Friday. When I don't know what they got racing this weekend.
Yeah, we're running this weekend is high limits. Got Friday, Saturday. Old man's calling. Better put him on the call you back list.
Lucas is off again. I don't know. If
yeah, we got high either. Limit Friday and Saturday. We got World of Outlaws Thursday at Thunder Hill.
High Limit ran last night, too.
Yep. Thunder Hill on Thursday and Talladega Short Track Friday and Saturday.
That's the Outlaws, right?
Yep.
Late models.
Yep. USMTS Mods at Arrowhead and Tri-State. And then we got Woo Sprints at Paducah and Wabsted, Kentucky. We ain't going to talk about Dirt Kings because we don't really care.
Sorry, Bert.
And
we couldn't see him last week.
Yeah, we picked Ogilvy races too, but Ogilvy probably ain't going to happen, so we'll save the wind on that too.
Right on. So, and then did you watch any of the MLRA stuff down in Wheatland last weekend?
The feature started, Davenport took off like he was going to run away and hide, and I shut it off.
Fairly quality field, though.
Yeah.
I think Thornton gets second both nights.
Yeah, well, you got Thornton and Davenport in a few in that field. That's what's
Marlar was there.
Yeah.
Other than that, there wasn't too much else. And then Hunt the Front. Sounds like they had your boy got second and it rubbered up on Saturday, Bloomquist.
Yeah.
Scott Bloomquist sneaking his way back towards Victory Lane, Dan.
Yeah, he's
doesn't make the show Friday. Gets second on.
He'll get there
Saturday. His big thing is he can't get the tire figured out. He said that in his podcast the other night. He can't get this tire figured out right now. He said, but it takes time. And all the other late model guys said the same thing. Different was all the late model guys were on the same page when that tire came out. Now Bloomquist is a year or two behind with that tire.
Well, and that's what he said. He says, this is new to me. He goes, it's not new to them. He's like, I was off on two corners.
Yeah.
You know? Now, for Bloomquist, I thought was good. The little that he's raced on these tires, he knew that he was off on two corners, and he knew what two corners they were right away. So when you still know that, tells me you're not past your prime.
He's not dumb. He may have got abducted by aliens, but he's not dumb.
So for him, there's three things that come into this on whether or not you're going to see Scott Bloomquist reemerge to be a power on the national scene. Never going to be what he was, but whether he's going to have a chance to win these crown jewel races or be a contender. Number one. The tire.
Mm-hmm.
Got to understand the tire. Number two, physical endurance. Guy hasn't raced long races for a long time.
And he's beat up.
He's beat up. He's went through a lot of shit. And number three, and probably the biggest elephant in the room, is funding.
Yeah. His other thing,
bringing a knife to a gunfight right now, and he don't have the checkbook that these other guys got. He's got to get somebody on board, and if he can level that playing field and get his ass back in shape, I don't think you've seen the end of the zero.
Yeah. And the other thing he mentioned that I thought that was interesting, that he knew that these tires Hoosier came out with are not as good as they were.
Mm-hmm.
He flat out said that. And then he flat out said the American Racer tire right now is if you're on them, you got an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
He 100% flat out said that. Then he also said Hoosier ain't going to put up with it. If that's the case or not, I don't know. Meaning that Hoosier's going to come out with a better product. They're not going to let American Racer come in here. So
I would say this. I would say that Scott Bloomquist is speaking on the Hoosier of old. The Hoosier of old wouldn't have allowed it. It would be done already. It would have never gotten to this point.
Yeah.
But it's not the Hoosier of old. It's Hoosier Tire owned by Continental Tire. And Continental Tire doesn't give one shit about dirt track tires other than their profit margin.
All they care about is Hoosier showing a profit at the end of the year.
All they care about is how much money they're making. And if they get to a point where they can't make money the way that they want to, they'll say, all right, we're just going to fold this brand up and we're going to be done with it. That's mm-hmm. what multinational mm-hmm. corporations do. You see it happen all the time. So, it's kind of wild. We'll see what happens.
Right on. In the World Outlaw Sprint Cars, where were
Kentucky.
They? Kentucky. They were at I-55 last weekend.
Yeah, it was good racing.
It was. And then our boy, Donnie Schatz, got the win on Saturday. First win there in nine years.
Gravel got it on Friday.
Isn't that crazy with Schatz? Hadn't won the I-55, all the races that he's won, hadn't won there in 9 years. So,
dude.
Super.
He's rolling.
Well, did you watch his interview after he won, Schatz?
No.
Do you know how he qualified? Terrible. Yeah. See, he So during his interview, he goes, it's a good thing there wasn't any cameras back by when I got out of my car after qualifying. He said, because it went to made normal TV. It had been pay-per-view. So I don't know what he did or the team. He cussing, swearing. He was bad. He was buried in a heat. And you get buried in a heat in I-55. Okay? He basically said in his interview, we were just trying to salvage a night. That's all he said. He said, I was just trying to salvage, hopefully sneak into the top 10.
Well, you can't throw elbows in a 410 sprint
no.
car.
No, you throw one there, you're in the catch fence.
Yep.
So first corner, he either started like fifth, sixth, or seventh.
He went around the top.
No, he's not. Everybody drifted up. He snuck by everybody on the bottom, and then he went to he got second in his heat.
Yep. Yeah, because he got in the dash.
Drew the front row for the dash, and then because he finished, he gets second in the dash. Did he start outside?
Started pole? Outside front row, yeah.
And then end up getting the win, and
he let her eat.
He just said. After qualifying, he said, we were done. He said, and then to come out here with a win, which my big takeaway from that was, especially for some qualifying, you know how qualifying is in the show. You qualify bad, your night's done. He's 100% right.
You have to get in the dash. You literally.
With eight cars now, you pretty much have
to. Unless you're at Williams Grove, Eldora, or Knoxville, you have to get in the dash. Because these races are so short, and the tracks, there's good lanes and there's bad lanes, but these guys are so damn good, and these wings move so much air that they dictate. I mean, if you're banking on lap traffic to pass cars, you're dancing with the devil on that deal.
I thought it was super interesting just to hear Donnie Schatz, a 10-time champion, one of the greatest all time, say, we were buried in qualifying, stayed after it. You know what I mean? He didn't get mad. Obviously he got mad.
He evidently lost his shit. But
he didn't throw the towel in. You know what I mean? Right. He didn't throw the towel in, and he went out there and won. So seeing the perseverance and a team like that, it was just cool.
Right.
Especially from these – if you're a young driver out there, go watch that interview and listen to what he said. And just watching him and being like, we've all
right
been
on.
There. We've all had a bad heat race, and you pull the lineup up, and you're starting 18th. You're like, oh, what the heck? Well, no, it's – let's get after it and get something done here. So that was a cool deal. To High Limits, where were they at last weekend?
I don't know.
Rolling Dice. Did you download the Spotify list from?
I certainly did not. No.
From who was it last night? Whose list was it?
Shit.
Something Daniels? No. What was it?
No.
What'd you say? Key, Koi, Key, Skip. What?
Oh, it's Cap Henry. God, you had to bring that up.
You didn't screenshot that?
Somebody needs to take Cap Henry and teach him what real good music is. We got to fix that problem, okay? And then the next thing we need to do is we need to shit can the playlist program from High Limit, and we need to shit can the gimmick dash qualifying program from High Limit so everybody can know how you actually get in the dash. Mm. The only thing that's good about it is I love the wheel. I love the wheel.
Wheel's cool deal.
The wheel's better. It's like the wheel of misfortune, except you get to see it every night. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So High Limit's got some gimmicks going on. Like I said, I don't know.
Rodman's doing better than he did at the beginning of the year on the mic. He's still not great, but the beginning was bad. The beginning was brutal, Jeff. It's still not good, but it's better.
Well, at least he's got sponsors now with names.
Well, and the other thing is he's more informed. It's getting better, but it's not a rapid ascent.
It was way better last night with the track announcer there helping him.
100%.
I thought that was much better.
Well, it's always going to be better when the track announcer's helping you because the track announcer can inject things into the deal that you don't know about
because
you're a traveling sideshow.
So I thought the co-op deal was, and they're even... You go to some shows, too, even Johnny Gibson and some of those guys are, Mike Norris out in that way. Those guys do a good job.
Ask Corey Litton how well he likes Johnny Gibson.
Oh, yeah. So that was the High Limits. I don't think there was any. Did we miss anything from last weekend? Hunt the Front was on the front.
No, we didn't miss anything.
We didn't miss nothing.
There's very little going on still.
How'd you do in Pick'ems last week?
I did really good, actually. I'm losing ground in the golf tournament.
Weren't you like plus 8 though?
Nine, I think.
Were you?
Yeah.
The top's gotten you haven't quite caught us yet, but we're...
No, I have one more good week. I'm riding with the rest of the Wolf Pack.
Because we're only like 14 back.
Bromwich is down there. He's down there muddling around in the mud.
What's playing. Who does he pick? Is he...
You can't be emotionally attached to your picks.
Is he the Davenport lever and he always...
Oh, yeah.
Well, he hasn't been racing anything we've been picking. It's a good thing we didn't pick MRA. He would have got some points
finally. I think Bromance has got two pairs of Davenport underwear on today.
He probably does. And they're not Superman ones.
Yeah.
A 4 and a 9 on
them. Might be with him. You never know.
Where are we at, Brandon? Are we over an hour already?
Yeah, get this done. I got to go to work.
Yeah.
My phone's rang 3 times already.
Did we miss anything? I don't think we missed anything. So stay tuned. Like I said, a whole bunch of racing going on this weekend. High limits. Dan's. We'll see how Dan does in the pick'ems. I don't think he's going to have a very good week this week. I got a point last night because Corey Dabe whooped up on the high limit boys again last night. Courtney got second. I don't know. Did Sweet end up fourth?
Third or fourth, yeah.
Who was he battling with?
He was battling with
Kyle Larson, garbage. Rico, garbage. Who else was it? Bacon? Because he started on the pin, I think, didn't he? Speaking of the pin, did you see your boy Hot Carl got top 5 at Cedar Lake last weekend?
I watched it. He wheeled it all the way back to 5th.
Started on the pin and wheeled it up to 5th.
If that guy would just freaking settle down a little bit.
That car's fast.
That car is a missile.
He doesn't race, though. I mean, you don't show up once and you're going to race against those guys. He needs some wheel time.
If he could keep a line at all. He needs
wheel time.
Not even a good line, just a line. You wouldn't pass.
He needs some wheel time.
That thing is bolted, man.
We're going to call him next week. We're going to give him some tips.
You see that? Do you see his car come off the corner? Huh. It's like, well... And we know there's no pooch under the hood.
Wow, I mean,
it's
a good, no,
those, and it's bolted up.
Those JMRs all got, well, look, it's Grassy's car coming off the corner. Gonzo. Clayton Wegeman's always bolted coming off the corner, too. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, thanks to all our sponsors, elevate-visual.com. Video production, make sure you need any video work done, drone work done, get a hold of Brandon at elevate-visual.com. He also has a Facebook page. You got anything else? Basically Facebook, a website. His phone number is 911. So if you need to get a hold of Brandon, he's done some work. He's got it up on Facebook, on the web too. And pretty much, and if there's any racing going on, just, I don't know. There's an IMCA race, just see if Brandon's working, right? He's probably there working.
IMCA.
Where are you going to put your sticker? Dan. Man Bun Dan's got bottom an IMCA of, racing sticker.
Bottom side of the toilet?
bottom side of your fuel cell in your truck?
No.
Shopbeanstock.com if you need any dirt podcast apparel. Hop online. She also has a Facebook page up there. And then Team Redline Graphics. Thanks to all them for our stickers. Tannen Boys and Ryan Flatton with Team Redline Graphics. Other than that, Dan, any last closing final thoughts?
Yeah, one thing. Billy, quit doing stupid shit. That's all I got.
That's all you got. For my co-host Dan, Brandon on production, I'm Jeff. We will see everyone on the flip side.